This podcast is for people who are ready to heal body, mind, and spirit and are willing to take full responsibility for what that involves. I am not a doctor. I am not a therapist. This podcast contains adult language and themes that are not suitable for young children or those who are easily offended or triggered. The views discussed in this podcast are my own, based on personal experience and of those I have known and worked with for my entire adult life. This show is not meant to take the place of sound medical or mental health advice. You, and only you, are responsible for the choices you make based on the information you hear on this show. Welcome to the Alchemy of Natural Healing. I'm your host, Laurel Dewey. True healing is an alchemical process, meaning it must transform you on all levels, body, mind, and spirit. What affects one affects all three. True healing is one of the hardest journeys you'll ever travel, but it's one of the most rewarding and fulfilling when you get to meet yourself for the first time. If you're ready to take that journey, let's get started. Welcome to episode 3. Today's topic is how to build your internal flame without setting yourself on fire. I'm writing these podcasts at this time so that each show is a foundational base that launches into the following week's subject matter and so on. Last week, the topic was how to build an illness, and that went into great detail about how your family and upbringing often create the unconscious patterns that can lead to chronic illness. At the end of that episode, you had a better understanding of what behaviors often lead to illness and that it was up to you to build a fire within yourself that would sustain you through the alchemical transformation you were willing to embark on. I don't hang out in the personal empowerment crowds anymore, so I don't know if today's topic is talked about in those circles, but if it isn't, it should be, because it is a foundational necessity to launch yourself into this work with fuel in your tank and understand the reasons why you need that fire and how to keep that fuel glowing and allowed to build and anchor in your core for the rest of your life. Most of the people I've met in my life who decide to undergo a radical physical, mental, emotional, spiritual transformation came to the work seriously depleted physically and certainly mentally and emotionally. I never attended any workshops at my lowest point because I couldn't function. But when I did start attending a few workshops on natural healing and personal empowerment, I was quickly aware of how many people were dangerously ungrounded and really unable to chart their course. I remember how everything was overly emotional and so many people were complaining about being triggered about you name it. They weren't paying attention to what was being offered to them at the workshops, choosing instead to take day trips down these rabbit holes of meandering pointlessness. So entire events became hijacked by these ethereal distractions that unfortunately ruined it for a lot of people like me, who were there to learn and get information. And since I mentioned the word distraction, let me say this. In the world of natural healing and alchemical transformation therapies, you are going to encounter a lot of distractions along the way, a lot of options that you may look on as opportunities for growth, but that turn out in the end to be just another distraction that's only real purpose was to teach you about not getting drawn into another distraction. It's going to happen, but the point is to not allow it to happen repeatedly and really derail your progress. So that dovetails into today's topic of the vital importance of establishing and building that internal flame inside you early in your healing process so that you have better discernment, improved determination, a deeper grounding, and an ability to not fly too often into the speculative, subjective realms of fear. In order to be able to literally hold, contain, and embody your true self, you have to become stronger in body, mind, emotions, and spirit. Just like a weak man can't run a marathon until he becomes physically, mentally, and emotionally stronger and able to handle the energy it takes to run a marathon, The same thing applies for transformational healing. The weakened self that has been allowed to grow weaker and more timid has to become a million times stronger in order to contain the energy it takes to heal and transform. It takes so much grounded energy, so much motivation, and so much willingness to do transformative work. And that energy requires a steady, glowing fire inside you that rises and falls as you require that energy. When you agree to build a fire within, you are literally priming your vessel for the work ahead. There's a time to be humbled during the process. And believe me, if you're doing this right, you're going to be consciously humbled many times. But there are also times you have to ignite the fire within so you will be able to successfully overcome whatever physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual adversity you are facing on your journey of self-discovery. Cultivating that internal and hopefully eternal flame inside you ignites the motivation and passion to keep moving forward. You need this flame inside you to forge and establish new patterns and ways of thinking. You know, without this flame inside you, you'll drift aimlessly. You won't have a clear comprehension of why you're even doing certain treatments. You will often be exploited by others because your watery, oscillating nature is a magnet for people who want to use that weakness against you while they increase their bank account on your willful lack of discernment. When you choose to spark this flame inside you, you are choosing to be more grounded, and that provides you with a critical foundation that is required to do this work effectively. It also provides you with the continual inspiration you're going to require at times when the going gets rough and you need to tap into that reserve to keep you from stagnating. That flame also allows you to funnel and develop the strength and the courage you're going to need in spades when shit gets real on the mental and emotional fronts. When you establish this fire energy inside you, you will be easily able to see how valuable and essential it is to the process of alchemical transformation. Before I get into the multitude of ways you can create, build, and channel your internal fire, I want to differentiate the internal flame from the act of setting yourself on fire. About midway in my healing, I ran across a quote that really knocked me back. The quote is, "You are not required to set yourself on fire to keep someone else warm." I knew exactly what it felt to strike that match and set myself on fire to accommodate or enable or make someone else happy. And I knew the toll that destructive use of fire took on my body, mind, and spirit over the decades. Every single time I set myself on fire for someone else, I gave up a precious commodity of energy that I was not purposely replenishing. Even though I may have been in my teens or 20s or 30s and older, I was more than willing to set myself on fire because I never dreamed one day I wouldn't have that fire to give so freely. So I gave and I gave and I gave, and I never nourished that fire so it could continue to grow and feed me. I wasn't aware yet that if I took that same fire and fed my internal furnace with it, I could become incredibly strong and incredibly resilient over time. But because I did not believe at that time that my needs were important and that nourishing and protecting a vital commodity such as an internal flame was fundamentally important, I just kept giving away my fire. You know, a lot of people, they have this belief system that it's selfish to not set yourself on fire. A lot of us were taught that it was our duty. So the mere thought of seizing that fire for our own fuel is seen as self-serving arrogance. But think about it this way. If you're really struggling with health issues, physically, mentally, or emotionally, and you are totally tapped out, drained, empty tank, aren't the people who demand you continue setting yourself on fire for them the truly selfish ones? It's clear you've reached your limits and can't provide the fire they have demanded of you, but that doesn't stop them from trying to locate the flint that will spark you up again. So tell me again who the selfish one is. Stop setting yourself on fire to keep someone else warm. And while you're doing that, stop setting yourself on fire in order to shine for someone else. Stop setting yourself on fire so someone else can watch you burn. Stop sacrificing yourself on the bonfire of just keeping the peace. Stop setting yourself on fire until you burn completely out. Stop giving away the one and only resource you can generate that will be the difference between your health or your downfall. There is no coming to one's enlightenment with cold, wet blankets. Chinese medicine has a name for this internal fire. It's called qi, and it's spelled Q-I. Strong qi is the fire you require to heal. And of course, in Chinese medicine, qi is symbolized by the strong flame of a candle, and the candle's flame is the candle's purpose. A candle is meant to burn. And as it burns, it creates both heat and light, and through doing that, manifests its own energy. The way it was explained to me years ago was that the flame needed the food of the candle wick to burn, as well as the air around it to maintain the flame. However, if the wind blows too strongly, the flame will flutter or flare and could eventually be blown out. The wind represented chronic stress, long-term life challenges that never seem to resolve and cause a drain on your energy and mind, repeated trauma that is never healed, and so on. The point is that the strength and life of the flame is dependent upon how well the flame is protected, contained, and fed. And just think of how too much fire in the body, in other words, an unruly candle flame, produces inflamed conditions or inflammation. Inflammation is not your friend. So while generating a fire and warmth within you is necessary to have the energy to heal, too much fire is consuming and will eventually have the opposite effect of a slow, warm, glowing fire. In Chinese medicine, qi tonifies the blood, nourishes the heart, and strengthens the spleen. There's a condition in Chinese medicine known as spleen qi deficiency, and that's a whole show on its own. But spleen qi deficiency is a diagnosis that truly encapsulates what happens to the body when it doesn't maintain an internal furnace. People who are diagnosed in traditional Chinese medicine with spleen qi deficiency tend to have symptoms such as circular thinking patterns, poor digestion, shallow breathing, cold hands and feet, stagnation in their life, in other words, a lack of motivation, low to no energy, a lot of mucus, and other symptoms. Lifestyle changes that are suggested include definitely staying out of drafts, but also getting deep restorative sleep, not overscheduling your life, and taking the time for reflection, which I know sounds passive and not fire-producing, but reflection is actually fire-containing. Like when you have a good bed of coals going and you don't put another log on yet because you want to allow what you have there to simmer for a bit. That's how I see reflection. Not overthinking, not stressing, just reflecting on something in your life without impacting it with excessive heat or fire. Another lifestyle practice is doing deep breathing, always in through the nose and out through the mouth. Dietary suggestions for those with spleen qi deficiency are always warming and nourishing. Lots of warming spices such as cardamom and basil, ginger, fennel, cloves, dill. Proteins are encouraged such as chicken, ham, venison, buffalo, and beef. Root vegetables such as beets and turnips are also suggested because they are so energetically grounding. And let me add here that chewing your food thoroughly, whether you have spleen qi deficiency or not, is absolutely vital. Digestive fire is the keystone to health. Some of you may have read or heard about the connection between the gut and the brain and how when you regulate and balance digestion, the brain begins to work more efficiently. That process begins when you focus on chewing your food. I don't know if beef tallow and grass-fed butter are incorporated into spleen qi deficiency diets, but I personally found both of those in small amounts to be really necessary for my own healing. A superb healing food that penetrates your body and your bloodstream with energetic warmth and over time improves digestion and skin elasticity is beef bone broth. I am a huge believer and lover of beef bone broth. It was a game changer for me. And while it took about 1 month of daily use before I felt the real benefits of it, I always felt nourished after drinking a cup of it. I also found I got a lot of true and lasting fire energy from taking grass-fed beef organ supplements that had a combination of liver, spleen, kidney, and heart. I also took grass-fed beef thyroid and adrenal and found that adding those into the organ combination was a powerful addition to my healing protocol. The cow adrenal was almost immediately felt, probably because I was so deficient in my adrenal strength because of my total burnout. The others weren't immediately noticeable for me, but I found that after 3 solid months of taking the organ supplement and the thyroid and adrenal, something clicked, and I began to notice a stronger core energy that gave me this wonderful feeling of stability that I had not possessed for a long time. And all of these absolutely contributed big time to that fire I was consciously building inside me. Obviously, if you were building a fire, you don't want to add ice or anything cold, so no ice drinks, no raw foods, only cooked, even in the summer. Again, I always encourage you to research anything I speak about. Do your own due diligence and certainly seek out a qualified traditional Chinese medicine practitioner who can really dial in how to activate the fire within you. There are also various herbal formulas known as qi tonics or qi elixirs that are powdered extracts or tinctures that you can incorporate into your healing protocol. All of these formulas, they differ slightly. But when I was looking at some of the ones I have on hand, you tend to see herbs such as red ginseng, astragalus, ginger, Siberian ginseng, and often small amounts of licorice root to potentiate the formula. The idea of the flame, the heat, the fire within needing to be present to heal and certainly to propel alchemical transformation, as I talked about in the first episode, is found in various healing modalities. Ayurvedic medicine from India certainly puts a lot of emphasis on warming the digestive tract and staying away from cold or icy foods. Traditional Indian chai tea with a little bit of warm milk and honey has been a staple in Ayurvedic practices, and it's a drink that I absolutely love and has been a great ally for me. I also want to include chaga tea, which is a non-psychoactive medicinal mushroom. Chaga is an incredible plant ally when it comes to cultivating warmth and heat in the body. Not surprisingly, chaga has an affinity for the spleen, the liver, blood, stomach, kidneys, and through doing that, it builds qi in the body. So I think I've driven it home that cultivating the flame within always tends to come back to the digestive tract. But it's not just the digestion of food. The internal flame within also fuels the digestion of information, ideas, decisions, the path forward for you, and more. The fire that is built in your core begins with your root, sacral, and solar plexus, which correlate to the first, second, and third chakras. And when these energy centers or chakras are warmed up and primed to their greatest output, they can support and spread that warmth to your fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and on up chakras. When people get into doing personal transformation work, everyone wants to start off doing heart-centered healing, but they never seem to build the fire that warms those first three chakra power centers. So they attempt heart-centered healing, and they always drown in this watery, overly emotional, overly dramatic energy that is so ungrounded and unfocused that they can't make sense of anything or, wait for it, digest the information they are receiving. Without the fire in the belly via the first, second, and third chakra, you will not be able to kindle and awaken your healing on a consistent level. You just can't. you won't be able to maintain stability in your healing, your plans, your projects, your dreams, your decisions. The fire energy will keep you moving forward, even during the times when you think you can't go any further. You'll be able to stoke the coals you've built, and by doing that, you will attract another answer, another solution, another pathway, another miracle that gives you the cosmic push you need to keep moving forward. Whether it's the fire needed to speak up for the first time in your life, or the fire needed to finally confront a tornado of trauma from your past, the energetic heat is needed in your belly to activate the drive and the determination you need to overcome whatever needs to be overcome. Fire creates boundaries that are healthy. And man, are you going to have to learn how to effectively build healthy boundaries in order to avoid all those distractions and the potential of falling back on bad habits that put you in the shit show you're living in right now. You got to get rid of the distractions, you know, because distractions are going to scatter your fire. And when you scatter your fire instead of a centralized furnace, you've split that furnace into tiny pieces. So it's not burning effectively or doing anything for you. The trick is to build your fire with intention. Write out on a piece of paper how you want your internal flame to fuel you. It's not just about wanting more energy when you're sick. It's what are you wanting to feed in your life? Are you needing the fire of self-confidence? Do you require the torch of courage? Do you need to ignite motivation toward getting off your ass and seriously starting a healing program? You know, these are all places to start. I want to be clear. The list is not a to-do list, okay? This is not about setting yourself up to fail, okay? This is about being clear in your mind how and what you are building your fire to do for you. Your fire will feed various things in your life. Another person's fire will feed an entirely different set of needs, but it's still the same fire energy. So with that intention, you need to funnel the fire into something viable. Having a passion is so important to stir a fire inside you. And if you're sick, that passion can be learning and researching various ways possibly to heal yourself. Completing tasks, no matter how minor, that cultivates inner fire. I don't care how simple it is, washing dishes, putting them away, cleaning off the counter, cleaning off your desk, getting organized, getting rid of clutter and chaos that allows for stagnation in your environment. Doing things that can be easily tackled and accomplished in less than 30 minutes builds fire, because focus and intention carry the energy of fire. It's important that whatever you set out to do, you finish and put your mind and heart into it. That is how you cultivate fire energy. When you accomplish a task, no matter how small, you'll get a dopamine rush, because satisfaction is one of the most underrated feelings. Set small goals, and then as you go along, begin to increase the intensity of the goal daily or every couple days. This is the energy that builds that bedrock of your internal fire. When courage and self-confidence have atrophied due to lack of inhabiting those aspects for years or decades, they need to be rebuilt and built upon layer by layer. You know, courage is born from fire. Courage relies on strong fire energy, especially the courage it takes to overcome all those fears that are holding you back. And when you do overcome a long-held fear, you just added another strong burning log to your fire. Nothing helps build that internal flame more than overcoming a fear that has held you down forever. The freedom you feel when you do not allow a fear to stop you is like the biggest rush of precise air that fans your internal fire. When you realize that you have overcome something that always shadowed you, you feel less weighted down and more able to keep moving forward. Let's see, what else builds a fire? Focusing on what you want and not what you fear helps to stoke the fire, because fear can put out the fire. Being accountable for your actions and words without beating yourself up. In other words, you know, you own what you've done or are doing and you move forward. This anchors fire energy. When you stop making excuses for your lack of motivation and begin to willingly be involved in your own health and well-being, you will feel how different you sound and how you move in your body. Let's see what else. Saying no. Saying no when you always said yes. You know, guards and protects your fire energy so you don't agree to energy drains that deplete your progress and could snuff out your fire. Having a purpose is one of the most important ways to cultivate and sustain your fire. Having a purpose is not the same, by the way, as having a goal. Having a purpose is felt deep down and resonates through you. And if you are sick right now, your purpose at this time is all about healing yourself. Once you heal or become less burdened by what's ailing you, your purpose will hopefully shift into your outer world instead of your inner world, and you'll find meaning in some type of service that is fulfilling to you. Yes, being of service is an absolute fire starter. Other things that generate and sustain this internal flame certainly would include earthing or grounding yourself to the earth as much as possible. Walk with bare feet on soil or sand. Even better, lay your whole body down on the earth and anchor into it. There are many studies that have been shown that people who practice earthing techniques have less inflammation and feel more centered and less staticky, less electrically charged up. Some people I've known who wanted to really exemplify the fire energy dyed their hair with bright red or maroon red henna during their fire building period. I did it myself briefly, and it really did change my perception of myself every time I looked in the mirror because I really laid heavy on the reddish-brown solution with an emphasis on the red part. I was definitely making a statement, and people did notice and often commented because it was really red for a few weeks until it subsided. If you decide to try this and people inevitably ask you why you did it, you can always say, I'm building a fire and I'm starting with my hair. Other things I did, I made a playlist and I titled it Fire Energy, and I chose songs or instrumentals that I personally found motivating, inspiring, stirring, and powerful. And I had rock and country and classical music on it, and I played anytime I needed inspiration. I'd listen to that playlist in the car while I was driving or was driven to appointments that often required a lot of courage from me. Another thing I did was incorporate more red, orange, and yellow or amber colors in my wardrobe. For over 2 years, I didn't wear any pastel colors. If you normally wear a lot of pastels and switch to these hot or warm colors, you'll notice a difference in how you appear because these colors reflect differently on your skin than soft hues of blue or lilac or white. It may sound like totally random suggestion here, but I have to say that I really felt stronger when I wore red and orange color clothing. I read somewhere how red silk underwear was energizing, as the silk acted as a conductor of energy. I don't know if that's true for everyone, but I tried it and I loved it. Plus, silk really feels good against your skin. You know, a few years into my healing, I discovered and began incorporating some very unique tools that I felt produced a positive outcome. One tool is chromotherapy eyeglasses that you can wear indoors or outside for short periods of time, like 20 minutes. I prefer wearing them outside because I think you can experience the color better. You can find them on Amazon. Just type in chromotherapy glasses. And to ignite that internal flame, purchase red, orange, and yellow. Choose the red when you need to be more grounded. Wear the orange when you need a burst of self-confidence and to feel more energized, and pick the yellow ones when you are looking to increase your willpower, improve decision-making, or just need an overall sense of optimism and happiness. I mentioned earlier about how the energy of the internal flame is found in your root, sacral, and solar plexus chakra. The root chakra, or the first chakra, anchors the internal flame, and it represents where you create your bed of coals, so to speak. The sacral or second chakra is considered to be the power center for creativity, enthusiasm for life, and building social confidence. In relationship to your fire energy, this is where you would add the metaphorical logs to create more heat and fire. The solar plexus, or third chakra, is literally seen as the vibrant sun energy, where the fire of willpower, mental clarity, and positivity are housed. So with that basic understanding, I'll tell you about my next tool in my toolbox that I absolutely made a difference for me every single time I used it. And that tool is specific healing mudras, or ancient hand gestures. Simply put, a mudra harnesses the power of your own body when you press specific points on your fingertips and hold these gestures for anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes while seated or lying down in a comfortable position. When you apply pressure to these points, you are connecting with an internal meridian system in your body that helps to restore one's energy flow and mental-emotional balance. It's not woo-woo, okay? Acupuncture and acupressure work in the same way, and there's nothing woo-woo about those modalities. There's also nothing satanic or evil about incorporating these mudras into your healing regimen. I know that if TikTok says it, it must be true, but honestly, do your own research and open your mind to the idea that these mudras have been around and used a lot longer than the celebrities that are photographed doing the hand gestures. When people have been brainwashed to believe these hand gestures are summoning a demon or proof that the person doing it is in a secret society or a club, they really can't get past that belief system. So the question is always, why are the celebrities flashing these gestures? As someone who worked in the entertainment industry years ago, I will tell you that most actors and musicians that I worked with just do what they're told to do when they are being photographed, and they have little to no idea what the gesture means. Others may understand it if they've studied perhaps Eastern religion or read esoteric books, and they recognize how these gestures regulate their energy field. There's a lot of people in the industry who are interested in energy medicine in order to stay healthier and to build long-term stamina and well-being. And those types regularly meditate and use specific mudras that contain their fire energy as well as direct it. I worked with many of these people back in the day, and I can tell you that the people I worked with were not sacrificing goats inside their backyard pentagrams. How some mudras became associated with devil worship, I really don't have any idea. But if any of you are strongly religious and feel that all mudras are of the devil, I want to tell you that you have been practicing a mudra as long as you've been practicing your faith. And that mudra is known as the Anjali, pronounced Anjali mudra. And what is that gesture? It's the prayer pose, with both your palms facing each other and your fingertips touching. So if you think that mudras are evil, that would infer that the prayer pose is also evil, and we all know it's not. So that said, there are proven mudras that when held for 10 to 15 minutes daily can absolutely center you and harness or rein in your scattered energy, contain it in a specific chakra or power center, and help your body to ignite the precious fire energy you need to heal. The first one relates well with the root chakra, and it's known as the Jian Mudra, Jian. This simple hand gesture is done by placing your thumb and first finger together and relaxing the other three fingers. The second mudra correlates to the sacral chakra and is known as the Prana Mudra. This is a great mudra to energize your entire body, to boost vitality, improve immunity, and some say it improves eyesight as well. To do the Prana Mudra, press the tip of your ring finger and pinky finger into the tip of your thumb and extend out your first and third fingers, keeping them together. The third mudra connects you to your solar plexus chakra, and it's called the Rudra Mudra, pronounced Rudra. This is associated directly with that internal fire I've been talking about. This gesture helps to reconnect you with your personal power and your willpower. You hold this gesture typically around your stomach area, and you do it by placing the tip of your thumb and index finger together, then add your ring finger and extend out your middle finger and pinky. The most important part is to maintain contact with the fingers that are pressed together. If you have trouble getting the other two fingers to be straight, don't worry about it. The fourth one I want to mention is known as the Hakini Mudra. And this is the one that everyone sees a celebrity's doing. and believes they are flashing proof that they're in a secret society. The only secret related to the Hakini Mudra is that it is a very powerful tool that helps to boost mental acuity, focus, and increases sharpness in the way you think. It's very calming and balancing to the mind during decision-making, very good for deep thought, and really a way to contain your energy and not allow the fire to scatter. If you're into conspiracies, you probably already know what it looks like, but if you're not, it's real simple. You place your fingertips and thumbs together and open your palms to form a wide steeple or pyramid as they represent this gesture on TikTok. You then sit comfortably and hold the gesture in your lap. You'll see a lot of CEOs doing this gesture during meetings. They may know exactly what they're doing, and all that means is that they understand how to rein in their fire energy and channel it into better focus and greater mental clarity. Is it really evil to want better mental focus? And if you still say that this gesture is summoning the devil or only done by those who practice occult sacrifice, you don't understand how the body's intrinsic energy systems work. You'll believe this bullshit about these gestures being demonic, and you'll shut yourself off from an incredibly valuable healing tool that does have the potential for teaching you how to self-regulate and become more connected with how your own energy field responds. I want to add that if you choose to do any of these mudras, it's really important that you use both hands to do them. This balances the energy of your body equally as needed. I'm going to post a picture of each mudra I talked about here on my Instagram page if you want to see what they look like. You can access that by going to The Alchemy of Natural Healing on Instagram. You know, I'm very thankful that I slowly developed and have maintained that core fire energy and understood how to use it for fuel. Because in the sixth and seventh year of my own awakening and healing journey, I had to tap into that fire to get me through it. You know, to help me come up with continual solutions and make decisions very quickly. That fire kept me optimistic during many months when optimism was very hard to come by. And what I went through at that time was exceptionally difficult, but it never drove me backward into a health setback. If I hadn't incorporated the herbs, the lifestyle changes, and everything else I did that forged that fire, I absolutely would have gotten sick and trashed all the progress I had made up to that point with my health. That said, by the time I got to that point when I needed to dig even deeper for energy, I had also mastered the art of not giving away my energy or power to other people. And that is what I'm going to talk about on next week's episode. That's all for this week. Thank you for choosing to listen to this show. If you like what you hear, share this podcast with others and follow me. Check out the notes for this episode where I give you the links to find me on Instagram and X at Laurel Dewey or The Alchemy of Natural Healing. As always, I love reading your questions and comments. Looking forward to having you join me here next week. New episodes drop every Saturday. Until then, remember that awareness is a demanding mistress. Once she wakes you up, she won't let you go back to sleep.